All right. Thank you, Marisa. That's what God wants. He wants all of our heart. Amen. I want you to go to your Bible. It'll be a little bit hard for you to find this morning. It's the book of Revelation. Last book. I want you to go to chapter 10. Chapter 10 of the book of Revelation. And we're going to read maybe six verses in Revelation chapter 10 this morning. You'll see kind of where I'm going with this. And about the sixth verse. Are you there? All right, you're wasting time if you're not. Chapter 10, verse 1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein. And here's my thought, that there should be time no longer. Time is coming to an end. You know what we do right now? Here we are talking about the old year passing away and the new year coming, and all of that is fine. But you know what we are? We love to measure time, don't we? We love to keep up with time. That's what we got a clock on the wall for, and that's why I've got it in the back where you can't see it. We love to measure time, don't we? And that's what we're talking about, with one year passing and another year coming. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject when the clock stops. And according to what I just read you, there's a time that it stops. And in heaven, they're not recording time. They're not measuring time in heaven. When I was in about the third grade in school, and I don't know if any of you remember this or not, but when I was about the third grade of school, right here in this town, the teacher may have put music to a little old poem. I'm not sure about it. But we sang a little old thing in the classroom. By the way, in the old days, they had prayer in the classroom in the morning. They pledged allegiance. And you know, on assembly day, we didn't call it chapel. It was called assembly. Quite often, a preacher or a missionary would come and speak to us. That was the old days, a couple of years ago for sure. But this little old song, you ever have a song, a little old thing stick in your head? Well, it stuck in my head from the third grade on. Now, I can't remember it all, but the title of it was Grandfather's Clock. Anybody remember that? Several hands. There was a number of verses to it. I don't remember all the verses. I remember some of it. One of them was, my father's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny worth more. It was bought on the morn of the day he was born, and it was always his treasure and pride. But it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man died. Do you remember it? Some of you might remember it. There's a little chorus went to it, something like this. 90 years without slumbering, his life's seconds numbering. Tick tock, tick tock. We kids love to tick tock. We love to sing the chorus because when the last line was, it stopped short. And that's the way we'd say it. Never to go again when the old man died. Now, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I heard the old folks, older me then, mother, some of my aunts. I was from the South. They were not aunts, they were aunts. I'd hear them talk sometime. And one of the things I heard more than one time, I don't know exactly who they were talking about. I don't know if it was true. It might have just been gossip. It might have been made up. But I would often hear them say, they'd be talking about somebody dying, and they'd say, the old man died, and his clock stopped at the same time. Anybody ever hear something like that? I don't know how true it was. But so when I got into school and they started teaching us that course, I didn't have a bit of problem with it. I'd already heard a statement like that before. But you know, we measure time, don't we? We got methods. We got clocks, we got calendars, we got sundials. In the old days, you hear talk about the sands of time, and men measured the time by the seasons and by the sun and by the moon. And he's always found a way to measure time. Why do we keep time? I'll tell you why we keep it down here. Because down here, time works on things. Things decay. Now, what Jesus said in Matthew 6? Didn't he say, lay up your treasures in heaven where rust and moth do not decay? Isn't that what he said? What he was saying was that down here, time plays on things. That's why we measure time. That's why contracts have different lengths of time in them. And values are placed on things, maybe because of less age or more age. But it's all measured about time. And somebody said, time waits on no man. And we are warned in the Bible about that. In James chapter 4, it tells us over there in James chapter 4, to boast not ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what another day will bring forth. Goes on to say our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Now, time is so important here, but here we've read a text that says not in heaven. There's going to be a time in heaven. When we get there, we don't care about the time anymore. Wouldn't that be wonderful? My life is governed by time. How about yours? I felt like a time or two slapping the clock off the table when the alarm went off. You ever felt like that? Sure. And but you know what? Character often is revealed by whether we stay on time or not. Do things promptly, do things right. We understand about that. But time is important here, but it's not in heaven. Why not in heaven? Here's why. Because there's no decay in heaven. There's no ending in heaven. There's no way to use up anything in heaven. Do you know there's a lot of things down here we have that's not going to be in heaven? One of them is not going to be any night in heaven. We need night down here. We need the rest to rejuvenate these bodies that are dying bodies. Yeah, we are. We're on the road to death, and we have to stop every now and then to rest up a little bit to keep going, don't we? We need it. So God gave us the time to sleep. Last night, about 1:30 a.m. or 2, a cat and I think a raccoon had a disagreement right under my window. Growling and whining and carrying on, and woke me up good and awake before they ever got their disagreement settled. I thought about going out there and helping them settle their disagreement, but it was cold last night. But I needed that rest. We need that. You know why? Because we wind down. We run down. We need winding up again. We need something to boost us along. But can you think about it? No night in heaven, no need of rest in heaven. Not even measuring time. The angel said, time no longer. And what he's saying is that the clock's going to stop. And the truth is it stops down here, but it'll never have to be rewound, recharged in heaven. Death stops our clocks down here, don't it? There is ends here. Clocks, we oftentimes talk about our body clock. It's geared to night shift or day shift. It's geared to the dinner bell go off at noon. We understand all that business, and we talk about a body clock. But there's a time coming, all the clocks are going to stop, as it were. And all that ends, it ends because we measure it in time. No ending in heaven. Can you understand that? But our clock's going to stop down here, and we're going to face the one who is eternal. You hear the choir singing about it? You hear the specials this morning? I didn't know they would sing that, but I thought about it. Eternity. We're going to face the eternal creator, the great I am. That's why God called himself the I am. He's not measured by time. When Moses wanted to know his name and God just told him over there at the burning bush, I am that I am. No ending to God, no beginning to God. But we have a beginning and we have an ending. And one day our clocks will stop. The Bible tells us clocks are going to stop for the nations. Do you ever read over in Matthew 25, over in Zechariah chapter 12 and through 14? It talks about a time God's going to call all the nations before him. It's when he comes back in his glory. I believe it's right at the end of the tribulation period, after some bad times on earth. He's going to come back. He's going to call the nations before him. And you read in Matthew 25 where he calls them sheep and goat nations. Some are going to be on his right hand. Some are going to be cast away on his left hand. And the measuring stick that he uses is how they treated his brethren. And his brethren basically is the nation of Israel. And it's not only for what they've done or how they've mistreated them in the tribulation period once they started pointing out the Messiah, but it's also going to be the fact that the way they've been treated through history. And the nations are going to face God with that. History tells us about the nations rising and falling. You ever read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire? You ought to read that stuff. The very same stuff that brought Rome down. Their immorality, their sin, their covetousness. Everything that you read in the newspaper in America today are the very things listed that brought down the Roman Empire. You know, we see nations rise up in glory and all their pomp and in all their pride and all their flattering titles they give to each other. By the way, the book of Job says we're not to give flattering titles. Isn't that interesting? But anyway, you find them in their parades. How many of you can remember seeing Saddam Hussein riding his white horse and firing a rifle in the air? He was up there, but he had his fall. And I want to say, if you read a little history, you've got the Hitlers, you've got the dictators, you've got the ones that rose in all their pomp and splendor and pride and glory. But the clock stopped and they fell. They came down. They fell. Many of them defying God. I think about the French General Napoleon. Remember Napoleon? Had that hard name to spell in school, Bonaparte, or fell apart, or whatever it was. I had a hard time spelling that name. I remember that. Napoleon. He got so big for his britches, and he was a little guy, really. But he got too big, and he attacked Russia. Remember that? And of all things, going way over from France to Russia to attack and conquer Russia. And one of the Russian generals sent him a message. Napoleon asked him to surrender, and he sent him back, and he said, we're trusting God. God's going to take care of us. By the way, there was a lot of Christians in Russia. There still are. But Napoleon sent back this answer. The general said, we propose that God will take care of us. He sent back this answer to the Russian general. He said, God proposes, Napoleon disposes. You better watch it when you challenge God. He moved his big army in there, and God defeated him with what? Snowflakes. Little old snowflakes falling out of heaven. And if you'd have read the morning report, you'd have found hundreds of thousands of frozen soldiers and horses in the snow. And he had to turn back, and he never amounted to climb that high again. God defeated him. Listen, God is still on the throne. He can still bring a nation up. He can bring a nation down. He still does that today. And clocks do stop for the nations when they defy God. And so many ways today, I fear America is asking God to stop our clock as we defy God. So many ways. Kicking God out of the schools a long time ago. Mocking him everywhere you turn on the comedy shows on TV. The homosexual crowd, men with men and women with women. All these things that's been predicted in the Word of God. Killing our babies wholesale. We've become a nation. I mean, you can't get much lower than mothers killing their babies. And we are on the top of the list. Now, thank God the killing has gone down some, especially this last year. There's been some positive things as we look back on the year. We're seeing ISIS near defeat in because we changed the commander-in-chief. And we're seeing some victory there. We're seeing the economy go up, but we're seeing the hate rise. And I want to say to you, the hate is more than just the personality of Donald Trump. The hate is against the issues that are godly and the issues that are right. And nations fell before God. He stopped their clock, as it were. He cleaned their clock, sometimes his street language talk, that God did it because they finally went too far with God. And I fear for our nation that way. I'm hoping in the election that was of God and that some intervention and some good things are happening. I pray they can continue to happen. Did you see this week where the head bishop of the Church of England came out rebuking you and I? He spoke against Christianity in America. He spoke against us because we were backing President Trump and the things that he's standing for. I'd like to say to that bishop a couple of things. Number one, you and I know he's not even saved. But I'd like to quote him a Bible verse. And I'd like to say, physician, heal thyself. You look at what you've done over there before you throw rocks at us. You look over there and see in London that you've got a Muslim mayor. You've got terrorism in the street where policemen have had their heads chopped off in the streets, knifed by Islam that you've opened the doors and opened your borders to. Don't tell America that we ought to do like you do. No way do we want to do like that. And we see that junk going on, but there's a few other things I'd like to say to him, but you wouldn't want to hear them. No, it's amazing today what we've got going on. Take an inventory on what's going on in America, and it's sad today, but we got some hope. We ought to keep praying. We ought to keep standing. And don't be surprised when you cast a rock into a pack of dogs, the one you hit's going to holler. And so the liberals are hollering because they've been hit. Don't worry about that. Half the news is fake or more because they were on the wrong side of the issues is what it amounts to. You got the hate crowd out there. They didn't want any change. Somebody said the definition of insanity is somebody doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Definition of insanity. If that's so, then there's a bunch of insanity in Washington, D.C. Let me go on and say there's a bunch of insanity in our universities and even in our government schools. Let me give you an example. There's the law of entropy. Entropy says, by the second law of thermodynamics, it says this, that the law of entropy is that the confusion in a system tends to grow with time. You probably didn't get that, but understand that's a fact, that's a law, that's what Jesus said. Was down here on earth, rust and moth corrupt, depraved, it passes away. That old Ford you got in the backyard keeps rusting, don't it? And the rest of them too, but I joke with you Ford runners. They're all plastic now, but I understand that. But anyway, that's the way life is. It goes down. We didn't come from paradise. We didn't come from the puddle, like evolution teaches, growing up to paradise. We fell from paradise, and we've been in the mud ever since. That's what's called depravity. But entropy, the law of thermodynamics tells us that the confusion of a system tends to increase with time. If that be so, then evolution is a farce. The Bible says kind produces kind. Now, the scientists keep waiting for the monkey to change into a man. Because their theory, but he keeps producing monkeys. You understand what I'm saying? The cow produces cows. The dog produces dogs. The cats produce cats. And bureaucrats produce bureaucrats. It just keeps going on and on and on. Amen? Trying the same thing over and over again, wanting a different result, but it don't come. But they can't seem to learn by that. That's the crowd out there. God's going to stop the clock on. I'm going to say this. The clock's also going to stop, though, for believers. You and I. Do you know we're saved to serve? That's why God left us here. He left us here to do something, to get somebody else to go to heaven with us. Listen, there's a little motto. You've seen it on the wall. Maybe you've got it there. It says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's a real truth. You and I have an allotted time after we're saved to do something for God. I don't know what yours is. You may not know all of mine. You go through the graveyard and you see a tombstone and it says, born this date, dash, died this date. My life is that little old dash between those two dates, when I was born, when I die. That's your life from the time you were born to the time you die. Your clock's going to stop over here. Now, what do we do with the dash, the allotted time? How did we live our life? Did we serve God after we got saved, or did we just do it all for ourselves? Somebody's asked the question, it's a good question, what would you do if you knew you had 1 year to live? If you knew you had only 1 month to live? You knew you only had 1 week to live, or 1 day to live? What would you do? The best answer in the world is, I wouldn't have to change a thing. I just keep on doing what I've been doing, because I was doing right to start with. Now, I've known, and this year we've seen some of our folks going to heaven. We've seen some men that serve God right here in this congregation, right here in our church family. And the doctors told them. I remember when Clyde walked down the aisle here and he told us, the doctor said, I got 6 weeks. Well, the doctor was pretty close on it. And he's been in heaven now for a number of days. But you know what? He didn't have to change nothing. He kept coming on to church as long as he could, doing what he'd always done. Think on that a little bit. What would you do if you knew the time? You may go to the doctor tomorrow and he may make a pretty good guess at how much time you've got left. You could go home and mark it on the calendar. This is where my clock stops. This is where it's going to end. And we've got an allotted time. I don't know, and God is good to not let us know. Very seldom do we know. And all of that is good. But if he did say to you tomorrow, you got a month or 6 months. I've seen some men in our church had a pretty good idea it was not going to be long. And they said, well, I'm going home, put my house in order. That's wise. That's a Bible thing. What does that mean? Just pick up the loose ends, tie up everything, help everybody you can, leave all the information behind you can to help those you love. But if you're saved, it's not the great fear for those that aren't saved. Yes, my clock's going to stop. Your clock is going to stop. If Jesus don't come and change us in the air first, our clocks are going to run out. And like the grandfather's clock, like the old grandfather over there, when his clock stopped short, never to run again. When the old man died, grandfather's clock's got a message for us. We use up the clocks down here. I'm going to a place where they don't even have to have a clock. They don't have to worry about it stopping because it never had to be wound up to start with. And I don't have to worry about it ending there because it's all beginning and never ends. That's what we have if we're saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that makes you prepared for the last tick of the clock, don't it? The last tick-tock, if you're saved, is a time that you met the Lord Jesus Christ, and we died to ourselves and became alive unto him. I want to tell you, somebody said, I'm going to heaven where I have eternal life. If you're saved, you already got eternal life. Amen. All you're going to do is go through a big old word that's in science book called metamorphosis. You're going to go through a change. The Bible says a change in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Man, change from a body that hurts to a body that don't. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Can you think of all the changes? You're not going to miss any of them, I'll tell you that. You're never going to say, I wish I had that old body back with all that rheumatism and all that upset stomach. No, you won't ever wish for that again. We don't sometimes think that all we really got coming, folks, after we get saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says to live is Christ. That means my life is better right now with him. But to die is what? Gain. Gain. I'm going to go to a place where the sun and the moon's not needed, because down here we use them for timepieces. Elgin Watch Company said, we set our watch by the stars. We won't need that watch no more. What they're saying is God's preciseness in the universe, our watch is that precise, we go by that. Oh, that's a wonderful advertisement, but I'm going to where we won't need no watches or clocks or calendars or measuring sticks of any kind. You know, the clock will stop for you and I that are saved, but it'll be a glorious stop. Be a wonderful thing. Job was lamenting his condition. But in Job chapter 5, God let one of his so-called friends give him a good piece of truth. And that truth was simply this. Job, you're going to the grave in full age. You're going to die like a shock of corn coming mature in its season. He was saying, Job, don't fear death. I'm going to give you a long life here, and it's all going to fit just right. You know, when we were kids, we're singing Grandfather's Clock in the third grade. We were not singing it sad. We didn't even understand it as being a tragedy at all. We enjoyed singing it. It seemed natural. And if you're saved, death don't have the fear for you. You don't soar like others that have no hope. It's a victory on the other side. And in your time, grow up like the corn maturing and go to the grave in your old age and go like a schoolboy skipping to school for a happy day. That's what we got on the other side because of Jesus Christ. The clock's going to stop even for the saved, though, one day. It's going to stop for the unsaved. If you're here without Christ, you can't prevent your clock stopping. Did you know that? No, you can't. Old British Queen, I've told you before, cried out on her deathbed, all of my kingdom for 5 more minutes of time, and nobody could collect the kingdom because they couldn't give her 5 more minutes of time. She was dying lost with no hope. I fear that I've seen some folks go out like that, and it's sad. It's sad. But the clock's going to stop for the saved. It's going to stop for the unsaved. We got the hypocrisy of our day today. Tonight, New York's going to have a big party, right? They're going to get out in 10-degree weather to watch a man-made ball fall down a post. Don't tell me they're smart. That's about dumb as you can get. What are they doing? They're going to rejoice that the new year is coming. Now let's examine that a minute. That means I'm 1 year closer to my clock stopping. I'm 1 year closer to facing the eternal God that I defied, that I mocked, whose air I breathed, whose food I ate, and whose water I drank, but I never thanked him for it. I'm going to face him in judgment, and I'm rejoicing. I'm going to get drunk tonight. I'm going to booze it up. I'm going to get out and freeze to death, and I'm going to welcome the new year. Well, you're 1 year closer to facing that God, that judgment. You sure you want to rejoice about that? That's hypocrisy first class, folks. 1 year closer to death and judgment. The Bible talks about death for the unsaved. It speaks of death having a sting to it. 1 Corinthians 15 calls it the sting of death. Now, the stinger is pulled for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have a sting for us, but it's got a sting for those that die lost. I'd say this to you. If you're here today and you're unsaved, and you could have gone back with me a number of years at different times through 50 years of pastoring, if you could have gone back with me and been at all the deathbeds I've been at, and hear and see all the things that I have seen, I wouldn't have to give an invitation for you to come to Christ. You'd run down the aisle begging him to save you. If you just had that experience. I've seen some horrible sights on the deathbed when people were not ready to face God. Their clock was stopping and they couldn't prevent it from stopping. No way could they do it. I think about a man I know of dying. He'd had something to do with giving some orders that killed a lot of babies. By the way, that's all over America right now. That's 4,000 a day, even though, thank God, it's getting a little less this last year. He cried out on his deathbed, "Get these babies off of me. Get these babies off of me." He was dying lost. He was facing the God that created those babies. He was facing that God in judgment. I think about another man that cried out on his bed, "I'm feeling the flames of hell. Pull me out." I want to say to you, nobody could pull him out. He slipped deeper in. That's sad, folks, but it's true. How about in the Bible when old Pilate allowed him to crucify Jesus, though he knew he was doing wrong? He got a bowl of water and he washed his hands as though he was washing the blood off my hand. And we still use that saying today, don't we? Washing you got his blood on your hands. And that's blood. When you get the blood of Jesus Christ on your hands, you can't wash it off. And history tells us Pilate went nuts. He was the governor. He had the power, but he lost his position. He went crazy over that day that he heard him say, "Away with him, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us." And they say that Pilate in his retirement years went down behind his house to a creek, to a water stream, and people would hear him howling and crying and trying to wash the blood off his hands. He couldn't do it. The sting of death was upon him. His clock was stopping. It was ticking its last tick. And there was nothing he could do about it. Sad, sad. My old third grade song had a little truth in it, didn't it? That truth over there said 90 years without slumbering, his life's seconds numbering. Tick tock, tick tock. But it stopped short. Never to run again. When the old man died, your clock's ticking this morning. My clock's ticking. Every tick of my clock gets me closer to my Savior, into heaven where time will no longer matter. If you're lost, every tick of that clock back there takes you closer to hell, your destination without Jesus Christ. And oh yes, Jesus himself said that it was a place where the worm or the soul dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I didn't say that. I didn't write it. Jesus did. It's right here in your book. Read Mark chapter 9. Truth is, everybody's clock's ticking. It's ticking. Some of you may never be able to make it back next week. Could be me. Could be you. Are you ready if your clock stops? If it stops, never to run again, like the grandfather's clock, it stopped it when the old man died. Maybe that really happened, and that's why that little old poem and song got written. I don't know. But I know there's a truth there. There's a truth there. There's one time in the Bible that God gives you about being saved. The scripture says, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. God only gives you now. Only gives you now. As you drive home, you got a clock in your car, look at it. Most of you don't wear a watch anymore. You look at your time on your phones, but look at it. You can't call the last 10 minutes back. You can't call the last week back or the last lifetime back. But you can get ready. You can prepare for your clock to stop. You can do that by leaving that seat and coming now in the present time and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loved you. He died for you. He paid for your sins on the cross. And he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He'll receive you this morning. He'll receive you. You can't stop the clock, but you can sure be ready when it stops if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray you will. Would you bow your heads with me, please? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I know I'm not as young as I used to be. I know that I got less time than I had before. And preacher, I realize if my clock stopped today, I wouldn't be ready to meet God, my eternal creator that I'm going to face. Just before I pray, would you just slip that hand up and say, preacher, I'd like for you to have me in mind when you pray. I need to be saved while there's time. Would you lift that hand this morning? In the back, in the balcony, anywhere. I care enough for my soul. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. Wouldn't call your name if I knew it. But I will think about you as I pray. Would you lift that hand for your soul? Your clock's going to stop one day. It's ticking right now. Do you hear it? It's ticking. Let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, one of the big sins that man even recognizes among himself today is the waste of time. But Lord, there's no such waste of time as great as to waste the time, the day of salvation, the opportunity to be saved, in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning in our midst for that one that needs to receive Christ. Maybe several here today. I pray for the Christian that's idling their time away and one day will wish they had not wasted it at the judgment seat of Christ and find out they bared their talent instead of using it for God. I pray for them. I pray especially for the man that is letting his life tick away and never yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Bless the invitation, Father. I've tried to make it clear. I've tried to give a little example. I've tried to warn, but I can't go any further. Just as your servant trying to share your word, that's all I can do. But I pray for that one in our midst today that needs to come to Christ. Defeat the devil that's holding them back and let them come this morning to receive Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me right here? You come as we sing.
Just time.